So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, last weekend, Mark's Gospel and the first reading from Amos was all about what it means to be a prophet, then and now. And if you heard me last week, and I talked about the fact that prophets should be expanded by definition to include really anybody who is baptized, so that was the focus then. This weekend, similar idea, only the image shifts. We're not on prophets so much anymore, now we're on the image of shepherd. And again, first reading and the Gospel drive the image. And much like last weekend, to dive into it, the first thing we probably have to do is expand a little bit our definition of shepherd. So Jeremiah speaks about this, about shepherds, about the fact that God will give us shepherds, about the fact that Jesus looks out at the crowds and feels sorry for them, the sheep without shepherds. So shepherding is it. Usually, so point one, what does shepherd mean? We often think we hear these passages that it's talking about the clergy. I'm going to give you shepherds means I'll give you priests, I'll give you bishops. True, that's a fact. This certainly speaks in a particular way about what it means to be ordained and a shepherd in the church. No question about that. However, it's a little bit narrow. In the ancient world, especially the Old Testament and the Israelite experience, when the Psalms and the prophets speak about shepherds for the people, they're not only talking about the temple leaders or the clergy, they're really talking about the kings. Talking about the political leaders of the day. For those people back then, there was no dividing religion and politics. It was all one thing. So a shepherd of Israel was the king, and a person in charge of their spiritual well-being was the political leadership. So shepherds back then talks about anybody who is in leadership and have people under their care. That's an expanded definition of it, okay? So when Jeremiah is talking about the shepherds, it's not the clergy, it's the people in charge. The people in charge of the nation. We can expand that a little bit further because, frankly, you know, therefore, if to kind of retranslate what Jeremiah says, God says, I'll give you leaders. I will give you leaders. That's probably the best way to understand what he means in the ancient context. So leaders means lots of things. Certainly pastors. True about presidents, about mayors, about governors, about dads in households, about moms, about teachers in classrooms, about school principals, about managers, CEOs, COOs, anybody, sponsor, godparents, somebody who is a particular person of authority with people under their care, that's a leader. So when one hears shepherds today, all right, the first thing to think about is he's talking about leaders, leaders, leaders. So therefore, that's most of us here. In some capacity or other, we probably have this as part of our responsibilities. We're leaders in some particular fashion. Therefore, the readings are all about us in some particular fashion. Second thing, okay, so that's a shepherd, is it's a leader then and now. Second thing that the readings tell us about, so therefore, what do the readings say about leaders, right? Well, one thing we don't want to skip over, okay, and it's easy to slide past it, but I think the point needs to be lingered on just a little bit, and it is this. We hear God and the prophets decrying a lack of leaders for his people. And when they're not there in sufficient manner, he promises to give more of them to us. So that tells us a very basic, elementary, but extremely important point, that God desires that there be leaders in the world, that God desires that there is order, that God desires that the people who are in charge, that God desires that there are structures, that there is an authority. So society, the human family, needs this, needs shepherds, needs leaders, needs people to run and manage and oversee and protect those under their care. It's built into the fabric of our world, and God wants it that way. I linger on the point because sometimes it's tempting to think that we don't need them. I mean, we kind of want them until we don't, you know. Witness the last year or so in our nation, especially the kind of riot mentality that sometimes creeps into our popular parlance, or populism going to its worst extremes. Those are very anti-leadership kinds of tendencies if you really pick them apart. We sometimes think, well, I'm my own leader, right? I mean, my will, my head is in charge of me. My intellect is supposed to lead me. That's true. But I can't be my own master. I'm under other people, too. I'm under a civil authority. You name the structure, okay? So that means anybody who espouses anarchy or disorder or disorganization is going against what God wants. We don't want that. God wants the world to fall under leaders. So any system that tries to destroy that is bad news for the world. So that being said, the next question is, okay, what do the readings tell us about what a good leader is? What's a good shepherd? Because it's clear the readings do tell us not only does God want leaders and shepherds, but we are to evaluate them. They're to be measured against a criteria, something that tells us if they're good, bad, effective, ineffective. The readings tell us that we can and we must evaluate our leaders. And we can be upset when they're not doing a good job, and we can be happy and thankful when they are doing a good job. All that is in the reading. Jeremiah speaks about this very poignantly. And the little piece of text we get from Jeremiah today, Jeremiah 23, to put ourselves in the scene a little bit, what's happening is that at this point in Jewish history, the southern kingdom of Judea has come under attack from the Babylonians, and everything's coming apart. The king has made a deal with the advancing empire. It's not going so well. The armies are on the march. The city is coming undone. The leadership has been captured. It's a dark time for the kingdom. So Jeremiah is writing about the fact that everything is coming apart in his mind because of the leaders. So it's not like they don't have shepherds. It's not like there's no king. There was a king. It's not like they didn't have a temple leadership. There was. It's not like there weren't people in power. There were. But as far as Jeremiah is concerned, they did a terrible job. And he lays at their feet the blame for the entire mess. They are bad shepherds, in his opinion. And he speaks God's word to say, I condemn those who have scattered and done poorly by my flock. So Jeremiah is saying we need shepherds, and the ones we have are not good. It's their fault that this is the mess that it is. Jesus, same thing in the gospel. He comes among us people, looks around, and looks at the crowds, and he is sad because they look like people without a leader. Well, they had an emperor. They had a tetrarch. They had local officials in charge of them. They had a temple aristocracy. It's not like they didn't have leaders. No, they had bad leaders. So the readings tell us we need leaders and we should assess our leaders. How do you assess them? What makes a good leader? This is the rest of the story. What makes a good shepherd? For Jeremiah, it comes right down to this very simple rule of thumb, you might say. It's not about political success so much, because the fact is the ones in his time did politically acceptable things. They were tactically smart. It just went badly for them. No, Jeremiah sees it very clearly. He says, look, the problem with our leaders is that they don't fear God. They don't trust God. They don't fear God. They don't follow his laws. They're not righteous. For Jeremiah, the mark of a good shepherd is a righteous person. If you're not righteous, then it's like not having a shepherd at all. It's like, why bother? If you're not righteous, forget it. And calamity is a result. So for Jeremiah, a leader is a good to the extent that he or she is a righteous one. Okay? So we can hear in the reading the situation of Jeremiah saying, if only we had a righteous leader, this would have never happened to our nation. The crumbling, the chaos, the disaster, the exile, the destruction, all because our leaders did not fear God. I could think that if Jeremiah were alive today, talking to us, looking at the West, looking at our world, he would have the same stinging indictment to level against our leadership today in every sector you can possibly think of. Jeremiah was a tough critic. I think he would probably look at Washington and at Madison, and he would say, unrighteous people in power. He would probably look at Rome, the Holy See, and many of our bishops and probably say, unrighteous people in power, even though they claim to be, they're not. He would look at me, frankly, as a pastor, and would condemn me, and I'm not above condemnation, so rightly so, he would say to me, unrighteous. And he would probably, I think, if we're honest, look at schools, communities, households, parents, people in authority, managers of companies, and say, unrighteous people, bad leaders. That's all very depressing, isn't it? Okay. But the fact is, in our hearts, we know that it's true, right? We cry out like they did in the time of the exile. We cry out like the gospel crowds for people to lead who are good and righteous and true. We know what it is. We want it. And we are heartbroken when it's not there. And we throw our fits and tantrums and riots, but the fact is we do want leaders. We know that we need them. So, what do we do? God, in his kindness, and the readings are beautiful this way, doesn't leave us in this hard situation. He says, well, yes, I know you need leaders, and I know that the ones you have now are, let's just face it, inadequate, so what am I going to do? Jeremiah says it, and the gospel fulfills it. God says, I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to give you righteous leaders. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide for you because I don't want you to be without people to lead you. I'm not going to abandon you to your devices or to your whims or to the whims of the masses or mobs. I will give you shepherds. Jeremiah 23, it's a beautiful promise. The question is how? And this gets a little bit more complicated, but I do think that it works. On one level, the gospel is how this is answered. So Jeremiah prophesies this, shepherds are going to come. Well, it's centuries of more chaos in Judea. They go to exile, they come back from exile, the kings are kind of mediocre, they're conquered. So when God says they give you shepherds, he must not have been talking about some sort of political dynasty. That's over. He must mean something else. I'm going to give you the perfect, righteous shepherd. Indeed, he does. The gospel is the answer. We are presented today with a portrait and mark of the righteous shepherd, who is Jesus. He shows up, he sends out his apostles, they do great things, they come back, they attempt to rest, the crowds follow them. Jesus gets out of the boat and looks out and realizes that they need him. He is offered as the picture of the righteous one. So he is how Jeremiah's promise is fulfilled. But there's more, okay? I would say that when God says, I'm going to give you shepherds, what he means is, I'm going to give you a couple important critical things that will allow all of you to become the shepherds that are needed. They don't just fall out of the sky, good shepherds. They don't come out of the ground. They don't come to us through a screen, thank God. Okay, they have to come from somewhere. They come from the people right here. Good shepherds are raised up. How? God gives us the ways that he's going to do it. And today's readings, I'd say, highlight, let's call it two of them, that are very, very important. And again, we can't take these things for granted because we sometimes slide past these things. One way, okay, that God promises to raise up leaders that we know that we need and crave and that God wants in an inadequate world, one way is that he gives us the standard to assess them. I mentioned this a second ago, righteousness, right? But more specifically, he gives us Jesus as the perfect model of a good leader. This is a tremendous thing. Right? We can cast about for ideas. We can look in textbooks for leadership. We can try and figure out how do we do this. But the fact is God's given us the answer. He says, I'm coming in person. I'll come myself. I'll show you how to do it. And you cannot put too high a price on the gift of what a good example is. We don't have to figure it out on our own. We can just look to the one who has come and say, yeah, we have a measuring line. It's him. So the gift of the measuring line is critical. If I'm going to look at myself as a leader, and you as parents and CEOs and principals as leaders, we're going to measure ourselves against the one who is the perfect shepherd. That's a tremendous gift. I have an evaluative tool. I have a template. I got a model. I have an exam. One. Two, what's he like? Well, today's gospel, he's compassionate. That's key, isn't it? Any good, righteous shepherd, any good leader, we're going to assess the people out there or ourselves on the criteria of, do you care for your people? Does Jesus care for us? Very, very much. What happens in today's gospel? He gets out of the boat. He looks up, sees the crowds. And it's a beautiful line. It's a famous line. It says his heart is moved with pity for his people. His heart breaks for them. That's the model of a good shepherd. To look out at one's household, one's family, one's parish, one's school, one's business, one's community, one's nation, one's world, and to be moved by what's broken in it. And it's saying, I'm going to set myself to the side and put them ahead of me. So a leader must care for his or her people, must. One must imitate this posture of the gospel. One must look at them and have one's heart go out to them. That's righteous leadership. You want exhibit A of how this goes poorly when it doesn't go like I say? Look at Haiti, which here in Cabrini is such a dear friend of us to the south. All the years we spent in connection with Haiti, does your heart not break these days the news out of that nation? It's completely a crisis of leadership by people who decided that they matter more than the people, and now they're all suffering for it. That's unrighteous leadership. That's Jeremiah 23. That's the whole mess of human history. When leaders decide it's about them, everything comes apart. So God raises up good shepherds by, first of all, giving us the way to judge what a good shepherd is with an infallible model, his only begotten son, who is full of compassion for his people. And if you don't have that in your heart, me or you, we are not measuring up. And to be shown how we're falling short is a tremendous gift. What else does Jesus do? What else does a good leader, a shepherd, do? It's interesting, the gospel ends with this. His heart is moved with them, and then what does he do? He doesn't decide to put a president in charge of them. Wouldn't that be something? He doesn't write them a check. He teaches. His response to their lack of a shepherd is to instruct them. As if to say, God realizes that the bedrock of shepherding is teaching. A nation without instruction is lost. A household without instruction is lost. A parish without instruction is lost. A company without good ethical instruction is lost. Teaching is the way to shepherd, as the gospel shows us. So if one's going to assess our nation's leaders, our church leaders, me as a leader, which, and you should assess it, I agree, yourselves as moms, dads, sponsors, teachers, the question is, are you teaching what God wants you to teach? Are your words in harmony with God's law, or do they oppose God's law? Do you, when your mouth opens, do you espouse what the catechism says, or do you say something contrary to it? That's the measuring line of good shepherd, good leader, or not. If God's not your highest moral authority, then as a leader, you are poor. Poor. Okay? If we find ourselves on these measuring lines, not measuring up, what the church has always said is, then conversion of heart is what raises up the next leader. Because one is cut to the heart, realizes one must change, and then in Jesus Christ, we meet all the ways that we need to become better. If I should teach better, then I can learn. If my heart's not compassionate enough, it can grow. So I'm fed with the sacraments. I'm nourished with the word. I have the friendship of Jesus Christ in my heart. I have grace. I have the saints. I have devotions. I have all these things. So God says to us, long story short, you want leaders? I'll give them to you. I'll come among you in person. I'll give you the standard to follow so you can measure yourself against it. If you fall short, grace with me will restore you. Conversion will raise you up. I can make leaders out of any one of you. I'll give you all the means to do it. That's how I'm going to give you shepherds. I'll come in person, connect you with me, give you the measuring line and all the ways to fix it when you fall short. That's what grace and conversion do. It changes people. So leaders can be fashioned. God fashions them with his law, with his mercy, with his grace. So there should be no despairing here, okay? There should be an honest assessment of the world's leaders out there, and us as a leader, that needs to happen, critical examination compared to the perfect leader, Jesus. And then two, we should throw ourselves at his feet and say, well, help me become better if I'm not. And thank you, Lord, for the ways that I am a good dad, a good husband, a good pastor, a good principal. Lord, I can do these things with your power. It's amazing what I can do with you by my side. It all rises or falls with the Lord. It rises or falls with the Lord. Without him, it falls apart. With him, it all does fine. I will give you shepherds. That's what he says in Jeremiah. So don't fear, little flock. I'll give them to you. And where they're going to come from? Right here. I'll raise them up. In friendship with me, in harmony with my law, power by my grace, converted in your hearts, I will give you shepherds. You need them. They're for you. God says, I'll not abandon you. Trust me. Follow me. Be righteous like me, and the world will be saved through you as you lead others to me.